But one faculty wife went with us a lot, and now I can't remember her name, but she's the one who painted that picture that I think I gave to Melissa. I'll have to ask her if I didn't give her this. It's a watercolor. And we were out on a picnic, and she just did this, and I'm in my gaucho hat. And one time I was walking the Oregon Trail, and I took my gaucho hat off and left it on the fence post, and the next time I went by, it wasn't there. So I have never had another gaucho hat. I loved a flat-rimmed hat that you would wear riding because they were just right.
When we think about this project, one of the things that we were planning on doing is doing a piece of art that could be placed in some kind of pivotal location. When you think about that, where do you think would be a good spot for that to happen? Any particular, not singularly, like are there a number of spots that you can think of that would seem appropriate to you?
Blue Lake.
That is. Have you been there? You've been there? Isn't that the most fabulous place to be?
That's like that room. Without a doubt. The water's perfect for swimming for about 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, it is gorgeous any time of the day or night, and you can't sleep because it's so beautiful. Especially one night we were there, it was moonlight night, and it was just so bright, and everything about that setting was just so perfect. Blue Lake is just at the end of Minim Lake, but up the hill a little bit.
You camped there at Blue Lake or at Minim Lake?
We camped at Blue Lake. But we camped at Steamboat, and we camped at Swamp, and we camped, we moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we would go in to Red's Horse Ranch and then up the Minim. And there was a certain place as you were going along that one of her horses, if he were a pack horse, would just take off on the trail. Well, what's Jack doing that for? Well, Jack had been taken this way so many times because there had been a plane crash over there. And then everybody who came to the mountain got to see the plane crash. So this horse just automatically went in that direction. I just loved it.
We were thinking of Red's Horse Ranch as being one of the places we could put the art.
Mm-hmm.
It might be hard to do it in one of the wilderness areas because we imagine there'll be a lot of who knows what kind of forms we'll have to fill out.
Yeah.
But the horse ranch, we think it might be somewhere.
Maybe not. Of course, it's government owned now, so who knows. Burney Park, if you can picture where that one tree is, there was a big barn there. And one of my pictures is Jean Burney picking ticks off of a horse under the horse's tail. And the horse kicked her, and she was so indignant. This horse was her friend, and she was doing him a favor, and how could she get kicked by this horse? But that was just the way she was, very basic. And we didn't even have the kind of salt that you feed horses now to keep them from getting ticks in those times. So you always had a lot of ticks, and ticks were the great awful thing, but you had to deal with them. Have you ever seen a tick? Have you seen a tick? Everybody's seen a tick. We don't like to see them, but they're a reality. But not as much now, as ever. Our last horse died about 5 years ago, and so we don't have a horse around, and it's really sad, and I can't even think about ticks anymore. But they are still there in the pasture. If you don't watch out, they'll get on you.
So was Jean's barn right there where the park is now, or was it on the property where the house was?
She had a barn at the house. And this same Jack that I was talking about could open three doors to get to the oats.
Wow.
If you didn't have them locked really good. She'd jiggle the thing. And, you know, there were a lot of innovative ways to close doors then, of wood fitting into each other. And, you know, they didn't all have metal locks on like everything does now. And so this horse, you could either lift up on something or move it back and forth, and then he'd do that three times to get to the oats. And she was so disgusted with this horse. But she also had this barn over here, and she did keep hay in it. The horses she kept over in that other barn. It was old. Everything, you know, everything is old until you make it new again. And so...
Jean's house was a very simple house, too, wasn't it?
It was. And then Jean Burney always made... She had a Great Dane and a little tiny poodle. The Great Dane thought it was a poodle because that's the only thing it ever saw. So he was trying to get through openings that the little dog went through. The little dog's name was Molly. And this was really funny. Everything was fun and simple in those days. Just nothing sophisticated at all. No clothing that was sophisticated. And you didn't have to wear makeup or anything. And if you were ever going to hike up off of Catherine Creek by over Meadow Mountain, there used to be a lookout tower on Meadow Mountain.
I think I have a picture of that.
I probably do. And that was one of my favorite spots. You could see everything from the top of Meadow Mountain. You could see clear over into Baker County. You could see over this way and on into the other rows of mountains down the other way.
There's Jean's Great Dane right there at that, huh?
Yeah. Did you say that was it? This?
Right back there.
Oh, right back here. Oh, I see. It's the same color.
Yeah.
Had to look. Oh, it's probably because I'm old. Isn't that good? There's a rock cairn.
Yeah.
The rock cairn we made up on this hill was better than that one. But this was a marker, all right. Yeah, that's the Great Dane. What a beauty. And Julia Gilstrap had Weimaraners, so we had big dogs with us. Did you see this Great Dane in here?
Well, that's the Great Dane's name.
Is that the lookout? Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Somebody said that name just the other day, and I said, oh, I remember.
There's some photographs of dogs in there, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's on is that the lookout that you were talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure.
There was a dog mentioned in one of the articles, too.
Yeah, it says Lookout Station on Meadow Mountain. Oh, I always hated it when they got electronic things and they could do this fire watching mm-hmm. down on the ground someplace, you know. My husband was a lookout on Mount Emily one summer when he was in high school here, and it's just a romantic thing to think about being on a lookout. And Chad Quaintance, who was the son of this other Quaintance who was a faculty member, was on the lookout that it mentioned in the paper last night, Johnson Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have much business that year, but he read every book he could get his hand on about Lincoln. And I'm so impressed, you know. I've never had enough time to read everything there is to read about Lincoln or anybody else, but... Yeah, these are great pictures, aren't they? And mm-hmm. they have names. You know, there is a Matterhorn easily available from Hurricane Creek Road. If you hike up Hurricane Creek, you come to Matterhorn.
That's a great place to hike. I like those falls in the back.
Yeah, isn't that great? It is great. Well, you see the kind of clothing people wore in those days.
Yeah,
Jean Burney had side saddles too, and people were always borrowing them from her to ride a side saddle in the, and we didn't have fancy Arab outfits either when we rode side saddle. These are wonderful pictures, Doug. I really like those.
How did the men in everybody's lives react to you all going on your own? Were they supportive? Did they think that was a great thing for you to do? Or were they kind of resentful that they didn't get to go? Or were they able to get people going?
You know, we must have had a bunch of good husbands because I never heard too much grumbling. And maybe they were as glad to have be rid of us as we were. As we were to get away from them. And one year, my husband and I went back into the mountains at this, as we came out from this trip. We just took one of the horses and our own horses and went back in. And that was the time that I found out that there were a lot of things that were fresh in my mind that Jean Burney did, that he said, we don't do them that way. And by that time, we had a couple of children, and I had a mother-in-law who did not ever want to be asked to babysit. And when you're going to be gone for a week, you know, you don't find a babysitter very easily. So we were very happy when my mother said she'd take the girls, and his mother said she'd take our boy, and he was only about four. She kept saying, after we got back, all Mark could say was, aren't my parents ever going to come back? I don't think they're ever going to come back.
So child care was provided by relatives and stuff.
Yeah. I did have, have you read any of the oral histories that are available now?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Once a Eugene has been doing it. We went to the County Museum down there in Union yesterday.
Oh, you did?
We were functional. They have a bunch of meetings.
Oh, good. Well, there's one lady, Bessie Knapp, who was willing to stay with our kids for a week or two, you know, and she just died the other day, but her oral history is with that group. And then there was another one that had wild Indian stories that she told our
mm-hmm.
kids. So we came back to a lot of, did you know that there were da-da-da-da-da, you know? Whatever it was an Indian story. So, the reason that I got to the place where I was that I had an older sister who became a Catholic when she went to the University of Oregon. And so my dad belonged to the Masons. Now see, this is all stuff that you wouldn't know about if you hadn't studied the era. But Masons didn't accept Catholics. And he didn't want his daughter to become a Catholic because the Masons didn't believe in Catholics. And those were the days when it made all kinds of difference if you married out of your religion. You know, you think of it now and you think, how can that make so much difference? Because we treat everything so different. But anyway, I got sent to Stevens College in Missouri because they didn't want me to go to the University of Oregon. That priest might get a hold of me and make a Catholic out of me. Who knows, you know. So, it was a girls' school and supposed to be a finishing school. And at Christmas time, I went to New York and spent the Christmas holidays in New York with some relatives and up in Rhode Island, and had New Year's Eve in New York City. And it was just absolutely fabulous. I've never had to ever again celebrate New Year's Eve because that was the ultimate, you know. It was and I knew everything that I had to know, and I just had a wonderful time, and there was all the excitement that anybody could have. And on that experience, I had ridden to New York with a professor who lived in Pennsylvania, and he lived in a Pennsylvania Dutch house that the kitchen was in the basement, and they had just slaughtered a pig. And, you know, all of that experience, you know, it just added to everything. So then, when I finished my first year at Stevens, I decided I needed to go someplace where I'd meet men. So I went to the University of Washington, and I took pre-med. Well, it was the Depression. I graduated from high school in 1936. And the Depression was still on, clear into 1940s, so you know it was still on. But my father just felt that I needed to go. But when I finally said, "Dad, I think that I should really know what I want to do, and instead of spending your money, you know." So I came back to Portland and went to work, and I worked until... So I'd actually had 2 years of college. And wonders of wonders, when I finally got here and went and enrolled in this college, those credits were still good. Nowadays, if you go 5 years without going to school, they're no good. So I was lucky to have those 2 years count. And I was able to get my degree, my teaching degree. And... But by the time I got here, I had been through those two college experiences and a work experience for several years in a woman's dress shop. And it was pretty boring. I made $60 a month, and that was enough to feed and clothe and pay rent, if you can imagine. I mean, how could you do it? You can't even imagine getting by a day with that, with $60. That's the salary I made. And so I was liberated when I came to LeGrand. And I loved every minute of it. Have kept on loving every minute of it. I love LeGrand. So then I went to Eastern and graduated. But in the meantime, we had taken a trip around the world. Because my husband, being a lawyer, he wanted to go to a World Peace Through Law meeting in Athens. And the travel agent said, for a couple hundred dollars more, you can stop 25 places if you're still going in the same direction. So we did that, and we just, you know, we just really saw it a lot. There's a lot more to see, but... I was glad to get to see what I did see.
Did you travel primarily by boat in that case?
No, but we were primarily by air.
Oh, really?
Okay. Uh-huh. This was in 1963.
Okay.
Which seems like an ancient day, but, you know, travel was a lot cheaper than it is today, and probably a lot safer. So, but yeah, the war was over, you know, things were back to normal, and it was a good time. So we had a lot of foreign students here at this college at that time, so I met a couple of them in Calcutta and ate in one of their homes, and they owned a taxi company, so they took us around both Calcutta and New Delhi.
Wow.
And then there was another group in Lebanon. And they had 25 people meet us at the airport. Only one spoke English. And so we just had the grandest time, and we were only supposed to be there for an hour, but they changed planes, and we were there for 6 hours. So we got to see the casinos and the downtown and the horse racing and, the, you know, everything that was good about Beirut, Lebanon, before the war. And you just can't imagine those nice people, they're sweet people, having to endure that terrible war that they're still in, you know, they still don't know what they're fighting about. But
well, I meant to bring my camera today, but of course I didn't. I had it all ready to go, too, especially today. So I might just run home and get it, if that's okay. I'd like to take a couple pictures of you and maybe these things you brought.
Oh, okay.
So it won't take me long to get it.
All right.
Did somebody else bring a camera?
No?
No, I also forgot my coffee filter. Ron had to go beg coffee off of
me. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
I want to show you how this works.
Oh, boy, this book is really coming apart.
That is. Somebody
I wanted to show you that photograph, too. I think if I was reading that correctly, that's Jean.
Jean at sea.
Yeah. Did she take a trip up to Alaska with Grace?
Yes, okay. She did. I have a little book that was written by Grace.
Really?
Uh-huh. That tells about that trip.
Wow.
What was Grace's last name?
Was it McKenna?
McKenna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's Grace right there. Grace was a nurse in World War I, wasn't she?
I don't have that memory, but, you know, Carol Campbell of McGlasson's is a relative, and she can tell you.
Oh, that's a good
Yeah, she can tell you anything about
Carol
Grace Campbell. She and her husband own McGlasson's now.
Oh, that's okay.
She is one of the ladies I walk with at 5:30 every morning. And so I get quite a bit of information of what goes on downtown.
Are there, on that matter, are there other folks left in town that are relatives, living relatives of any of the women that were part of the hen party?
I don't believe so.
Well, it'd be Melissa. And
Melissa is about the only one.
Really?
Of course, her sisters are cognizant of what went on, but I think Melissa was more tuned into it and has more of the memorabilia. But you can see how old these things are. Some of these ladies started doing it long before I came on the scene. I bet they'd been doing it for 10 years before I came along. And I came along in 1940, so, you know, it's a history. It's a real history. And I have some other written stuff, but I'm not a very well organized person. And I always thought when I got older I'd be well organized, but I'm not. But I have to show you about this pen. In the old days, they didn't have separators. This was before separators. And separators are plenty old, because nobody uses them anymore, I don't think, especially the hand-cranked kind. But they would put milk in a pen like this and set it on a shelf in a cool room. Most barns had a place that the walls were filled with sawdust, so that room would be kept cool. So the cream would rise to the top, and they had a special kind of a spoon that they spooned the cream off the top of this. And so this was called a milk pan, and it's enamel. So this, they were thrown away long, long ago. But Jean brought this to my attention so that whenever I would see one, I'd say, oh, I gotta have that for my biscuits. Well, on many of the trips that I've taken over the hill on the Oregon Trail, I've had every member of the trip bring something to put in a salad, and I would take the biscuit stuff. And but all of that land that we walk on is private land, and they kind of frown on fires now, you know, so I don't do it anymore. And but you melt a little butter in here and you mix up your biscuits. You take your biscuit. Jean Burney always had a sack of flour, and she knew how many cups she was supposed to take. And she'd mix this up. She always used cream of tartar, baking powder and cream of tartar, and it gives it a special flavor. And then you'd fix your biscuits in here. And but in the meantime, you'd have your fire built. You'd have a bed of coals, and you'd just put this down on the coals like this. And you have a little shovel, to help you with your fire, and you shovel ashes onto the top of this, and that makes a nice little oven, and you have a little hot pad or something to move this around so that it doesn't just burn in one place, you know. And voila, you've got wonderful biscuits. And she'd always see that there was jam, but this was the way it was done.
So it's very much like a Dutch oven, except it's a lot lighter.
Yes, a lot lighter.
Yeah.
That's what you do with a Dutch oven. But mostly those are for longer cooking, you know, where you have to sit, let something cook for a long time. Have you ever heard of the stone boilers?
Uh-uh.
Well, I also belong to a group called Art Research, and George Nightingale had made the outline for us. And young mothers who were more or less confined to home raising children in those days. My oldest child is 61, so you know how old that was, how many years ago that was. we would meet for lunch, and somebody would give a report, and we followed this outline perfectly. Well, in the early Indian art, everybody would study as much as they wanted to about the subject, but it was so interesting, and I happened to get a hold of this article about how the early Indians here, maybe 10,000 years ago in this area, learned how to heat a stone in a fire, dig a hole in the ground, put your skin in the hole, and fill it with water. And then you drop the hot rock in there, and that would make the water boil, and you could put your vegetables, your root vegetables, or anything else in there to cook. And you take your stone out, and you'd have cooked food. And they were a unique group, evidently, because they got named the stone boilers. And maybe that didn't last too long because somebody figured out how to do it with something on rocks, you know, just cook it up here, so they moved on. But I just love that concept. Isn't that a neat concept of going to the trouble of boiling your vegetables in that hole? Well, you practically know everything I know now. Unless you want to know about world politics and the other thing. Oh, I left some nice turds around here. I didn't realize. It was kind of hard for me to get that alforcus down off of the wall because it was on a hook, you know, and there was a lot of stuff in between, so I had to go over here and raise up over that hook. So I didn't take a whole lot of time looking inside of it. But I thought, just knowing that you had to look out for weather, and so you always had a poncho of some kind.
How many times did you go on
the hen party? I must have gone about 5 times. But I went with my family many more times. You know, we would keep these horses. At one time we had 7 horses. And it isn't a sophisticated thing that you do now, having horses. You just had a horse, you know, and you had the tack, and then you used it, you know. And then you rode the horses, and you rode them a lot. And as I was saying, there were all this gravel roads around, so it was easy to go up Glass Hill or even to Morgan Lake. There was no paved roads. Even B Avenue wasn't paved, and 12th Street wasn't paved, and you'd go up 12th Street and go on up around and then come down Glass Hill Road and go over your mountain. I loved that place up there. It is a really neat place to ride. But even after everybody was gone except for Bernice Brown, we still rode up there.
Yeah.
The wildflowers, the Lady Slipper Orchid, the Calypso Orchid. We have fabulous wildflowers around here, and since we've had a drought for the last 8 years, why not all of the wildflowers come out every year. It just depends if it rains or is it dry when they're germinating. Why this year we didn't have any bird bills at all. I never did see a single bird bill, but there were lots of curlicues. And some of the, Melissa and her family know all of these wildflowers by the Latin name, botanical name. It is just disgusting. But I'm not a perfectionist. I'm just a, you know, it'd probably be better if he would wait to take the picture in a month from now, because I just had all my hair cut off yesterday. I don't exactly look like myself.
Do you eat cookies or drink coffee or anything?
Oh, I drink coffee. If you have coffee, that'd be great. Wonderful.
Should we do some refreshments?
So probably you just don't know enough to ask questions. You know, it's so hard to ask questions about something you've never had any experience with.
Is it usually the same ladies that you went with?
Yes, a little variety. Mm-hmm. Depending on who was available, and you know, maybe there were demands from the husband someplace else, and or children, and
you have two girls?
I have two girls to start with.
And did you take them camping as well, all that too?
Yes, our family camp, we had all four kids with us, mm-hmm. and our son is just a kick. He was a president of FFA for Oregon, and so he was a fabulous public speaker, and he is just a kick even to this day when he's 55 years old. And so he would keep us laughing and with his antics. And so thank you for the coffee.
There's some cookies and other stuff over there if you'd like anything.
Okay. I'm probably okay. Good, though. Now, do you meet all day? Or how long is your session?
Oh, a couple hours.
Just a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So then you go out and do what now?
Well, yesterday we were at the Union County Museum.
In Union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This class will, in the end, will produce some piece of writing that's based on our information that we're getting from you and anybody else we can find with regards to the hen party.
Uh-huh.
And we'll probably produce something that looks something like those oral history booklets that we read yesterday at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow Eugene Smith is coming.
Okay.
And we'll get more of an idea of how he's gone about that project. And then we're going to make a piece of art starting probably the end of this week.
So all this time you've been trying to think of something in your mind to make in the way of artwork.
We're talking about a bell.
A bell.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That might be located, say, at Red's Horse Ranch, that could even have, for instance, a silhouette.
I was thinking about
that.
I think that would be really excellent.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that might run around the bell, or would certainly say something about. Should it be referred to more accurately as the hen party or the antique Girl Scouts? Do you think, Gerda?
Well, when you went up into the high mountains, oh, I believe this is Gene over here. This is Nell.
On the far right.
This is Nell Grimmett over here.
Uh huh.
This is Jean over here, yeah. Kate Houks. This is Lou Ebling. This is Mima.
Which one's Mima?
This one. This one's Mima. And this is Kate Houks, I think. This is Lou Ebling. And Van Tassel just bought Lou Epling's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And is going to... One day, we hitched up the sleigh and went out to the Eplings for dinner. You know, that was the ultimate. Because it never snowed at the right time,
mm-hmm.
and it never stayed on the ground long enough to run a sleigh. And so this one time, we took this horse out to Eplings. It's only about a mile from here, but it was quite an event. And
is that Marty on the
this could
left?
be Marty. Uh-huh.
Would it be okay
but
if I took that photograph and Xeroxed it?
This is a little bit clearer than some of those others, isn't it?
And then maybe we could even write people's names down on the Xerox. Would that be okay with you?
Sure.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Sure. The antique Girl Scouts are the ones who met and walked and rode every week all year long.
I see.
And it was the hen party that went to the high mountain.
Right.
So.
How old was Jean? I mean, how old is...
She was 88 when she died mm-hmm. in 74. So, see, 70, 60... You know, she had to be over 65 when she was going on these, that I was going on. Mm-hmm. And she carried more than her weight. But, of course, I didn't start slowing down till I was about 80 anyway. So, you know, it's possible. I don't know that I'm slowed down, except that I have no place to go. No horse to go on.
There's something I'm dying to know.
What?
It might be impossible for you to answer this question,
maybe.
But those mountains, I've been up there quite a bit, and I was wondering, what do you think is the prettiest place you ever saw in the Eagle Path Wilderness? What's now the Eagle Path Wilderness? What's the prettiest place? It, like I said, it might be impossible to answer.
For that time, I would say that here's Blue Lake over here, and there's a big, long area here. What did we call that? There's this stream running through. It must be the head of the Minim River someplace. And it was called some kind of a meadow. Oh, what did she call that? Oh, anyway, I just love that as much as anything. But Blue Lake, of course, was the best. We went to Tombstone and Diamond as well. And I've been in the Eagle Cap, too, you know, on the other side. We've camped over there at Echo Lake and Traverse Lake, and ridden from that end clear down to Lostien. So, and Wes took a photographer with him one time, and he just it just took him forever because he had to put up his tripod and his thing to take the pictures, you know. And half the time they were traveling at night and getting lost, and they ended up camping almost in the middle of Lostien when they got back to camp, or maybe it was Joseph, you know, where the hurricane comes down and into Joseph, and you're right on the edge there, and they woke up the next morning to cars going by and so forth. It was really funny. A law professor of his wanted to see the high mountains, and so he took this law professor when he was just, you know, in law school. And they went all over every place. They went up to the Hat Point, horseback, every place, all over the Snake River and the Wallala Mountains. But for view, I like Meadow Mountain. I just love Meadow Mountain. But, you know, I'm sure that everything has changed. We were pretty upset with Justice Douglas at the time because he left his whiskey bottles at Burger Butte. He said, oh, we see that Justice Douglas has been here again. And Justice Douglas was the head of the liberal court, you know, when everything started changing from conservative to liberal. So those of us who were conservative in those days had it in for Justice Douglas. Besides, he was married to a local girl and he divorced her. Well, we knew her and we knew her sister and we just didn't think that was very nice. But that's the type of thing that you run into, you know. So.
Did Jean Birdie have a favorite place?
You know, I think every place that she settled down to build a fire and to enjoy was her favorite place. But she liked this large meadow too. You know where I mean? You get on the trail and you go down into Blue Lake.
Yeah.
It's along
there.
There
I've been, but I don't know the meadow.
The North Minor Meadows was a place where our family liked to go. Have you ever been to North Minor Meadows? Well, you go along the Minum and then you take a trail that goes up to the left, and that's the North Minum. And that takes you up to those two lakes.
There aren't as many lakes in that area.
There aren't, but there's one that you really have to scramble to get up to, especially if you're on horseback or taking a horse up there. And it's a wonderful lake. But my husband had been to every single lake, and he talked about them like they were just, you know, everyday things, because he'd gone with his father and his brother every place. So I just came into the picture fairly late and didn't had to have children and stuff that slowed me down from going to the... But that was what was expected of you in those days. You will think that I'm kind of a rebel talking the way I do.
Are you?
Yeah, kind of.
I like rebels.
Anyway, I have always tried to stand up for myself. But the older you get, the harder it is. Because life changes so fast. You have no idea how many things have changed in 50 years. It's been 40 years since I've went around the world. Yeah, that just doesn't seem reasonable somehow. Well, if you weren't going to go as far as Red's Horse Ranch, and you wanted to do something that people would see around here, you could either do it at the park, because it's a very memorable place.
Mm-hmm.
That is, anybody who knew Jean Birdie knew this little park. It was a pasture, and she always had her horses there. And we were always fixing fences, mm-hmm. and we were always over there. And we had an art teacher one time. Have you any history of the art teachers here?
Not much.
This was a woman art teacher, and she lived in that barn.
What was her name?
Oh, you know.
Did she teach at the high school or
No, she taught at the college. She was a real character, too.
Sima Cass?
All you need is a year and you can find that.
You could
find
that.
Yeah, you can find it. You could learn the year.
It's probably a 60.
It wasn't Mary Jane Loso.
No, she wasn't exactly. She was a lady.
Her picture, that's what the idea you get to see.
Yeah. That's why I prefaced it by saying it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. No, I did know Mary Jane, and she's a lovely lady. Maybe Melissa will be able to fill in some of these, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried to tell her group of hikers, backpackers, about this trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's awfully hard to make you get the feel of it without actually experiencing it. She'll probably be able to fill in the rest of these. Catherine Howitt is one of these people, and I'm not just sure. I'm pretty sure this might be Marty. And I, you know, it's closer than
what year did you go on there?
Oh, let's see. This one that was dated 51. Mm-hmm. I know about that. But it seemed to me, like one time when Wes was still in the Army, his last tour of duty was in San Francisco, and I decided not to take the two girls down there with me, so I didn't go, and it was during that time. It was before Mark came along, before I that I went, and so that had to be about that time. So you people are way past your lunchtime probably, and you're anxious to go do the next thing.
I'm not anxious to go anywhere. This has been great.
Well, it fills in a lot of things. I hope that you saw that. Do you have a picture of Jean, this lovely picture of Jean?
No.
I think you should have a copy of that.
Yeah. You should make copies of all those things.
Yeah. Would that be okay if
oh,
we made...
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I could run back down to the office and do that.
Okay. I like this one about her dying. And, you know, if you want to know more about her, all of these...